2 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse number 1 reads, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save," or that word in this place is "except, one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David," here's some tremendous words, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." You can be seated. And let's pray tonight. Father, give us divine wisdom and a touch from heaven. Open our minds of understanding that we might comprehend what you'd have us to say tonight. May we deliver it with power. Lord, may it not be as words just come from the lips of a man, but God, tonight may it be seasoned with the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I pray it be from the Lord above. Strengthen and encourage the words. I pray, God, you'd drive home into the hearts of the people that which we need to hear tonight. And Lord, may we get what we need from the throne of God. May your will and ways be demonstrated to us, and may, Lord, we reach out to them and claim them. And we'll thank you for what you're going to accomplish. Lord, we do pray for our nation. We pray for the land that we're living in, for the leaders and those that are trying to help us with all these problems. I know, God, you're the only one that knows the answer, and we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, looking with me, please, in the Word of God here, go back to verse 1. And I want you to notice with me, the Bible said, "And the Lord," look at that next word, "sent." Now, God was in charge of doing this. This is a story of where David has gotten caught up with because of the sin of murder and the sin of adultery and how he did what he did. No doubt he's a king. He thinks he's going to get by with it, and probably pays no attention much to it. Beloved, we've all been in places like that in our life, and you might as well don't say you haven't, you have. There's been times in your life you thought you had gotten by with a few things. But I got news for you tonight. Well, none of us get by. God holds a good record. He don't miss a thing. Amen. He used to say to my mama, my daddy, a lot of times, "You got eyes in the back of your head. They see things." I remember when raising kids, mine were coming up. It was amazing how that I would find out things that my children had done, amen, in a roundabout way, and they didn't tell me. Amen. Isn't it amazing? And it's amazing how that God has showed me things in the church down through the years. And maybe not pointed out anything in anybody's life, but he pointed out something I need to preach, and it was just as plain as day to somebody in the church, and they knew I didn't know it. And God had just turned the searchlight on in their soul and let them know that they were guilty. So the Bible said, "And the Lord sent Nathan." Nathan's the preacher. He's the man of God. He's going down to David. He sent him down there to tell him something. God give Nathan a message. I appreciate the men of God that will deliver what God has to say. Yeah. Knowing what I know today in this modern day, Nathan is not typical of the average preacher. If God had said, "Don't you go down and talk to the king and tell the king what's wrong with him and what's happened, and tell him that thou art the man," I would automatically think today that most preachers would try to renege on God. I don't know what Nathan did, and he may have. But at the end, he went. And he begins to bring the allegory, the story here, the little message to David in a story-like form, and David got upset, and he said, "That man's worthy of death." And then the man of God said, "Thou art the man." Now, I want to say some things tonight and kind of point this out with maybe the situation that we're seeing in our country. Not only in our country, but around the world. God has his times of dealing with individuals if he has to. David thought he had gotten rid of this thing and maybe put it to the side, and maybe God had looked to the other way and wasn't going to bother him. Maybe, I'm not saying that he wiped his brow and said, "I got by with it." I kind of think that David kind of passed off the scene. And since God hadn't judged him and God hadn't dealt with him, he kind of put it in the back of his mind not to remember it anymore. But just about the time he thought he had forgotten it and wasn't thinking of it anymore, God has a strange way to show up at your doorstep. He's done that on me a lot of times. And it's amazing when God comes in, it's time to do business, and God knows how to do business, and God knows how to deal with us like we ought to be dealt with. So God can, in the scriptures, and we'll come back to this again tonight in just a moment, but God can deal and does deal with individuals. I can find others in the Word of God that God did individually. You probably can think of some times that God dealt with you, maybe not on the sin that he had here, not in the same situation that David did, but God has dealt with you in certain areas of your life when you stepped out of his will. David was a man of God. He was a king, he was a respectable man, and he's a type of the saved by the grace of God. And you can't slice it any other way. But I'm saying to you, he stepped out of the will of God, got in the wrong place, done the wrong thing, and maybe you're taking for granted he's going to get by and God shows up. So we look at it. But I want to kind of mention a couple other things. Now, God deals with individuals and then turn around sometimes and God deals with nations. Ever seen that? Israel is a nation tonight that you'll see from Genesis to Malachi in a real specific way. And from Genesis to Malachi, God had problems with it. Now, we know that in the book of Genesis with Abraham that the nation Israel was produced, come through the family of Abraham. And they were God's chosen people. God delivered them out of Egypt, and God took care of them and provided for them. But Egypt was a rebellious nation. She rebelled against God. Typical of you and I tonight to get in the place that we don't like to be under the control and under the hand of God. We don't like, you say, "Well, I don't mind God controlling," but you don't like the Word of God controlling you. We don't like to be told how to live. And that's what this book does tonight. And so we have a tendency in our mind to rebel. And God warned after warning he gave them. Time after time, God said, "You're to adhere to my words. You're to follow me. You're to put the word of God as frontness, or on your forehead and as frontness of your eyes. And you're to teach them to your children. You're to put them on the wall. And you're to tell them how they're to live. My word is to be produced and brought forth and raised up in the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls." And time after time, Israel would try to get hooked up and lined up with God. And then time after time, she'd turn her back on God. And God, I'll tell you right now, was trouble with them. And he brought trouble after trouble upon them. Chastisement upon chastisement upon them. And he gave them problems after problems because they would not follow after him. And he tries his best to try to get their attention. And years went on. Years went by. And you'll find that later God said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of you." And he caused old Nebuchadnezzar to rise up against them. And guess what? Next thing you know, it comes down and they get dispersed and put out into the land of Babylon. And for 70 years, the Israelites, as a whole nation now, God put that whole nation in there to bring them under judgment and to bring them under discipleship or under discipline, and puts them over there to let them see that he was God. God wanted to teach them in the Old Testament that he was God, and beside him there's none else. You see what I'm talking about tonight? Nation after nation has risen. Nation after nation has paid no attention. Amen. Can you name me a place on the face of the earth tonight? Can you name me one nation? Can you name me one nation under God tonight that honors God with all their heart and lives like God wants them to live? Can you do that? You said America. Mm-mm. Not in America when you're so diversified in who you believe is God. What you believe is the Word of God. They can't believe that there's one God like you and I do tonight. I'm talking about the nation as a whole. They would defy the attitude that you and I stand and say there's only one God manifest in three persons. They wouldn't like, especially when you name God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They don't want that. I'd want to come along and say Allah's God. And they'll come along and have all the, and they'll talk, and when all these things in the world, what they're looking at is one religion after another. They're looking at religions and not God. You understand what I'm saying? And brother, I want you to know when you see that diversity, no wonder we're where we are. But God, I want you to know tonight, God is not pleased with the nation that we're living in. I'll tell you right now, I can prove this, and I mean, I can't give you scriptures from it. Well, I can too. But I'm saying in the Word of God tonight, America wouldn't have to worry about no virus coming through tonight if she was following God with all her heart. Amen. God turned it. But God's using that. God sent a virus in our day right now. Now, God deals with a nation. It didn't take long, 70 years. That's a long time in our lifetime. But after 70 years, those little Israelites decided they wanted to get back into Israel and doing things like they once were doing and going back to Jerusalem, the homeland. You remember that? They went back and began to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, God knows how to take care of things. God knows how to get our attention. Well, let me go a little bit further. In my lifetime, I think I mentioned this Sunday, in my lifetime, I've never seen God deal with the whole world. I know he has. I talked about Sunday, the World War I, the World War II. Then we've had a few little skirmishes and little battles here and there, a little war here and a little war there, but the whole world wasn't involved. I don't know where you think about it or not, but when I thought about this little virus that they call it a virus. It's going to be a plague. Already call it a pandemic. That means it's worldwide. And they're admitting to that tonight. But I was reading, this has been a long time ago, and I read this and it stayed with me. And if I got my information wrong and I forgot it, you'll just have to mark it up, me being senile. But I'll say this. I read years ago that a little old flea was on a ship with a black rat. And that little old flea bit that little old black rat, jumped off of that black rat, and jumped on a man, bit him in the back. And when they pulled the ship in and got there, people were laying dead on the ship. Millions died. And they like to never got it solved. Call it what? Black plague or the bubonic? I don't know where's that. Bubonic, is that the same thing? Black plague is, though. And I'm telling you, people worried about that, was concerned about it. Brother, it shook the world up, and people have not forgot about it. People's talked about back in the early 30s when they had depression? That was before my time. But they talked about the depression. And I heard them on the news talking about a recession. And some of you that's got stock probably are half crazy tonight, but stock's going down. Amen. I hadn't put no trust in stock. Amen. And I want to tell you, and don't think tonight I'm trying to scare you whatsoever. I'm trying to give you some hope and some help. Brother, my trust is not in this world. My trust is not in the government. And for you who think the government can straighten all this out, I got a thing. I want you to know there's a thing coming to you. God is the only one that can get this under control. I appreciate the people who are working on it, but they don't know how to solve it. But I've seen all these things happen. But nobody in our society, in our day, and in my lifetime, have I ever seen a world catastrophe as we've got today. That people, have you ever seen the like? Go to the stores and everything's off the store shelves. I don't know what they think they're going to do. They told him, said, go buy your groceries and buy them, but don't hoard up everything and fill your basement full of food. Your neighbor will starve. Everybody worried to death about it. Well, I may run out of it, but I'll tell you this much. If I starve to death, I'm going to look the devil in the eye when I'm dying, and I'm going to say, devil, I've been fasting. Amen. I'm praying for them. I heard all that stuff this morning, and it broke my heart to hear them talking and what they're talking about and what they're thinking about doing. What they're doing probably is going to help a whole lot. But I would to God somebody get up tomorrow and say, today we're going to call on God, and we're going to have the Senate, and we're going to have the Congress, and they're going to pray on a 24-hour basis till we see the light shine through and we find God on the scene. Appreciate all these little laws that they're coming up with and working. They're fussing and fighting about what they can do, and they don't know what to do. And that's the thing about it tonight. When you don't know what to do, you go to somebody that does know. And that's God, is it not? Now let me just tell you, God's been trying to get attention of America for years. He's been trying to get attention of the world. And I go back to what I said a while ago, name me a nation tonight that is 100% following God and the Word. Name me one. You can't even put America in that tonight. It's probably the most godly, but it's godless at the same time. More people in America know about God than know God. And they think that's going to do it. But there's not that many that know God in America. Now, when you look at the population of America and look at it, that's telling a whole lot and saying a whole lot. And we've got a lot of people that I believe are born again. And I'm glad they're scattered, and I'm glad they're... And I believe most of them are going to have the same idea and thought that I've got tonight and you've got, knowing that God is our hope and help. But let me give you this. God can either deal with a nation, God can deal with a person, or God can deal with the world. He knows how to do it. He's already done the most for the world that anybody else could do. God, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God knows how to deal with the world and knows how to get it right. And you know what I'm going to tell you tonight? If you think you're getting by with it, God knows how to put the squeeze on you. He knows just where it's going to take to get your attention. Now, nobody's paying much attention to this thing right now. But if it progresses like they think it's going to progress, it ain't going to be long till somebody's going to start. You know what? As long as they've got a basement full of paper towels and a basement full of toilet paper and a basement full of canned beans and a basement full of tomatoes and a basement full of food and the freezer full of food and, amen, got the pantry and the shelves full of canned goods, ain't too much going to say, be said. But you wait till the canned goods get gone. And all the things. Let me give you four things tonight that God knows how to squeeze you real good with. Number one, I'm just mentioning it, food. When you get to where you can't find the next minute, why, I would have never believed. How many of you ever seen this in your lifetime? That all the restaurants are said now to be closed and you can't go on the inside and it's just drive-through, and I despise drive-through. How do I know that them folks on the inside ain't full of flu and a virus and spitting in my hamburger? You understand? How do I know they are washing their hands? And I look at that. Let me just say to you, I've never in all my life, I've seen, when I was a boy, we didn't go to the restaurant. I didn't. I told you when the first time I went to the restaurants, when I ordered that breakfast with them raw eggs. And I didn't know any better. But I just said, I'll take what he's got. I didn't know he was an egg-sucking dog or something, but I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't eat sunny-side-up eggs, and if you have them, that's your business. I don't want to know. But I didn't go to restaurants. There weren't no such a thing. You didn't. Hey, girls and boys, we didn't run down to Walmart, and there wasn't no Walmart. We didn't run down to, I start to say Barbecue King. They used to have one of that, but to Burger King. We didn't go down to the Golden Arch Supper Club, McDonald's. Didn't have such. But did you know all of them shut down now except for the drive-thru? Isn't that amazing? That stopped a lot of stuff. Now they're closing the malls. And God's still working on the scene. I listened right after I got up this morning. They said they'd had an earthquake in Utah and 50,000 people didn't have power. Did y'all hear that? Earthquake in Utah. God knows how to shake this whole world. The earth is his footstool, and when he wiggles his feet, the earth moves. I'll say tonight, God knows how to work on us. He may work on us on our food. Now, I'm sure everyone, I guess the rest of you go get you a load of groceries tonight if you ain't already. But I want to tell you, God works on the food. God knows how to, if a man gets hungry, he gets to thinking different. When you can't feed your kids and you can't feed your family and you can't feed yourself, the next thing you do is start calling on God. God knows what it's going to take. Now, he'll work on our food. If God don't work on the food, he can work on another area of your life that's going to get a hold of you, and that's finances. I've never been fortunate to pastor people who are billionaires. It's hard for me to even comprehend what a billionaire is. If I had a billion, I wouldn't want to spend much of it tonight because I'd want to keep enough of it to at least say I wasn't broke when I went out of here. But I got to stop and thinking about it. You could spend every day pretty good and never spend a billion. Amen. Not the way we live. If you kept your same lifestyle and didn't get extravagant, you could live off a billion for a long, long time. Or a million even. And now people are concerned. Did you know I'm seeing people more concerned about that today than I am anything else? The finances. You take a man's job away from him. You take a woman's job away from him. You take their provision away so they can't buy what they want to buy. I'll guarantee you it'll stop them to think on the things of God. And that's where God has put us. And I believe I'm just talking about the first front of this thing. None of us in this building have seen the end of it. And I'm pretty well persuaded that it's going to get worse before it gets better. I've never seen when the officials of the government have jumped into action to do something to change the things that they're changing in such a drastic way and doing it fast. They know what the problem could be. I'm not trying to scare you. Just listen to me and stay with me. I'll tell you something else. that God will not only work on finances and God will not only work on food, but he'll work on your health. And that's one of the things here that we're having in this virus thing. Health. I know a little bit about that because for years I was as healthy as a horse. I never knew anything there was about going to the doctor. Even for anything, I had to have a few places sewed up on me a time or two where I'd had some accidents. Broke a leg, had to go to the doctor. But I'd never been in a hospital in all my life till about 10 years ago. And then, since then, my health's been going down in a different manner. And now I have to go to the doctor all the time, see these things, and things pop up, and I've had things that I looked at, and I thought, but did you know tonight, health is something that nobody likes to lose? How many of you want to stay healthy till you die? Amen. Amen. I knowed I'd get an amen there. Yes, sir. I'd like to die like Moses. He is 120 years old. I won't do it because I've already had some problems that Moses never had. God took him up on the mountain, told him to look over into the land of Canaan, and he saw what he was doing. He said, this is where you could be, Moses, but since you smote the rock instead of speaking to it like I told you to, you can't go over there. And I just kind of feel like God maybe just put his arm around him but said, Moses, I do love you. Hugged him up so good. And I believe, I don't know, this. You said you ain't got no scripture. I've been told that before. You ain't got none again what I said either. God hugged old Moses up, and I believe he loved him so much, and he just smothered him to death and buried him right on the mountaintop. But what the key thing about it is, down below it, he said, Moses was 120 years old and his eyesight was not dim and his strength was not abated. He is as strong as he'd ever been at 120. Amen. He is like a 20-year-old boy. Amen. Young man. And I'm telling you that God can keep us that way if he wants to. I'd rather die that way as to die with some kind of sickness or disease. But God's got to take us out. That's his business. Amen. Amen. So you know what happens? God will work on us through our food, through our finances, through our health. And he's doing that today in the world situation. Now the food problem ain't a big problem yet, except for the people that are going wild over it. But it can be and might be before it's through. We do know that the finances haven't been hit hard yet, but they're fixing to be hit hard. And they said we're going into recession. And the health, people are dying. Of course, people die every day, but this is a plague. It comes in quickly. And when it gets, listen, they don't quarantine you for the flu. You said, well, there's more people die with the flu. Yeah, keep on talking. If we don't do something about the virus, there's going to be more die with this virus than they did with the flu because they have no vaccine. And that's what the key and the problem is with it tonight. I don't know all I need to know about all that, but I know health is another thing that God... When your loved ones start dying around you and you have to leave your loved ones with, it'll get somebody's attention. God knows how to squeeze that to where you'll start calling on God. If you're not calling on God now, it won't be long. You'll start calling on God. This nation will start calling on God. When they start having world wars, they didn't call on God right up early. But it wasn't long to them fellas in them bunkers and in them foxholes and foreign fields and say, God, you let me get back home and I'll live for you for the best of my ability. And some of them did and many of them didn't. You know the next one? Number 4. God's dealing with that and it's good here. Recreation. People have to be entertained. I heard a fellow say today this. He said, you know, since we've been cooped up in the house, said we've got to where we're sitting at the table and looking at each other in the face now without having to look on a little tablet or a telephone. He said, it's kind of been a little bit, we've learned to play a few games now because we can't go out. Oh, I'll tell you, if anything's hit the nation and hit it hard, is we're going to close the bars. I said, hallelujah. I'm shouting off that because I said we need to close them for you. You know, the senators and the legislators couldn't figure it out. We ought to close them a long time ago. But now they're real easy to say, shut them up. You'd have said that a month and a half ago. You know what they'd have said? No, we'll lose too much revenue. We'll lose too much. Oh, can't do it. Our politicians up there are paid off with some of these folks that go in the up there and pay them off to vote for them, you know. You're lobbyists, that's right. That's what you don't. Some of you are sitting here and don't know nothing about all that. These big folks go in there and said, hey, to one of our senators, said, hey, I'll make sure you get this and you get this and we'll pay that and we'll give you this and we'll give you that if you will pass laws to help us in our favor. Brother, that's lobbyists. And they go in there and do that and they're crooks. That's why you put a senator in office and he spends more money to get in office than he's going to make the first year. But when he always gets it, he's got another business on the side and got more money than you'll ever see the day of. You know why? He's been bought off. We've got some good ones. It's just hard to find. Well, we can't have no more football games. Can't have no more basketball games. Why, we can't even have another car race. There's going to have a car race down yonder. Was it last week? And the people camped out over there, and then they called it off, and the people stayed camping because everybody's been gone, and they just said, we'll stay here. We ain't got nothing else to do. If you let that happen for 3 or 4 or 5 months from now and they won't have another ball game and all that stuff, hey, you'll start seeing people climb the walls. Can't have no more concerts. Hey, man, tickle me this. It said that they're on spring break and they went down there and they're on the beach and a lot of them, they said, you can't go on the beach unless you got just about no more than 10 people, but some of them's doing it anyhow. They're having a hard time enforcing that. But I'm saying, hey, ought to scoop the beaches up, tear them up, and plant trees on the side. Been against the beaches for years. Amen. Right. Or to make a few little places to stand on the side and fish. Amen. No laying out in the sun with your clothes off. Don't understand. The world's all mixed up. But am I telling the truth tonight? Amen. God will take these four things and he'll work on this nation. Excuse me. And he's doing it. He's doing it a worldwide thing. I guarantee you. He's doing it to get the attention of the people. I hope he's already got yours. If he ain't, I hope he's working on you. He will. Hey, man, when this verse started, I thought to myself, and I've been mentioning it all the time, nobody's saying anything about, oh God, help us, help us, help us. I'm begging God to help our nation. It ain't going to affect my preaching, amen. I'll preach as long as they got the internet. I can keep a preach. Of course, there may be a way of getting that too. God knows how to do it. I thank God tonight for his goodness and his grace. And I think we need to put God back in the equation in America. Leave all this other stuff alone. I appreciate you folks, and I just wanted to challenge you with this. There's just a few people here tonight. We're over our quota, but anyhow, we need to pray that God will take this situation and turn the world around tonight for His glory and honor. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Amen and amen.